First Samuel. It's that book right after Ruth. I told you I was going to try to start here this evening. And I'm going to read the first 18 verses and say a few things on them if the Lord would enable me to. And I appreciate you. Know y'all got us a housewarming gift, and I appreciate it. And gave Shirley some money, and she went and spent it yesterday and enjoyed spending it. She just kept unloading the car. But you know the greatest gift we had and the greatest housewarming gift we had was have you all there, to have all of you all there. That's the most blessed, heartwarming, housewarming gift you could have is to have you folks that were there. That's the housewarming gift. All right, first book of Samuel. I'm going to read the first 18. I'm going to pray first. Let's pray before I read these scriptures. Okay, let's. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim of Mount Ephraim. And Ramah is the same place as Bethlehem of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so he provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then it said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am of a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Well, you know my normal way of doing things and I start a book is give you an introduction to the whole book. But this is one book you can't do that because it starts right out with a story. It starts right out with something for us to deal with. But I will say this, that this is in the book of Samuel is the first time that Israel ever had a king. They wanted a king. God gave them a king. But also, that was a rebellious king and God raised up David, a man after his own heart, through who the Lord Jesus Christ would come and God would establish his throne forever. But I want to deal tonight with Hannah's prayer and the vow that she made, and then next week, God willing, her keeping her vow. But this book opens with the birth of Samuel, and we'll deal with that next week. But as we read this few verses here, we have five characters in this story. Elkanah, Hannah, Peninnah, Eli, and Samuel. Now here, Elkanah had two wives. Hannah, she is mentioned first, probably his first wife. She was barren. She couldn't have any children. So he married Peninnah to have children. But let me say this right now. And in the scriptures, it shows us this. Polygamy was wrong, is wrong, and was wrong. To have two wives was wrong. And these men, they knew that. They had what God had to say about it. They understood what God had to say about it. And yet they went on and done it anyway. And the reason why it's so wrong is because it caused such grief. It caused such sorrow. It caused anger. It caused jealousy. It caused war in the home. It caused war in the home. But Hannah was barren. God, the scripture said, God shut up her womb. And this went on for years and years and years. They went up to the temple, up to the sacrifices every year. Every year they went up there, year after year after year. And Peninnah, she is the one that had children, sons and daughters. But I tell you what, it tells us here that Elkanah loved Hannah. Didn't say anything about he loving Peninnah. Never said anything about that. But he was a gracious man. And he went up every year. And he went up to worship God. He went up to offer sacrifices. He took his family with him. And he provided for his family while he was up there. He gave Peninnah them a portion. But he gave Hannah, because he loved her so much, a double portion of whatever that they gave him. And she had an adversary. And that's why polygamy is so bad. Peninnah would taunt Hannah, and provoke Hannah, and tease Hannah. I've got children, you ain't got any. Oh, I'm gonna get something off my husband, you ain't gonna get nothing. So she provoked her sore. Look what I said down in verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And Peninnah did this year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she's up there one year, she wept and wouldn't eat. Wept and wouldn't eat. But Elkanah was a gracious man. He looked to the sacrifice and the feast. But Elkanah was concerned. Look what he says down here in verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? He had great concern for her. Great concern for her. Why do you weep? And why aren't you eating? Why is your heart so grieved? Yeah, there's three things on here. She's weeping, she don't eat, and says her heart's grieved. And she said, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Well, how did Hannah respond to Peninnah? How did Hannah respond after all these years of being provoked and fretting and worrying and grieving over having a child? How did she respond this time when they went up to the sacrifices? How did she respond to this situation? Well, she prayed. That's what she did. She prayed. And they went up to the feast. But Hannah was in no mood to celebrate. And she went up to the temple. Look what it says there, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple. He sat up there to see what was going on around the temple. His sons now are the priest. He sits up there. He's an old man. He sits upon a temple, sits on a seat by the post of the temple. And look what was happening now. He sat there to see what was going on. So she went up to the entrance of the tabernacle. She went up and Eli was watching her. And it said she in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And all she was right there. Now watch what she did now. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Now the first thing I want to know about her prayer is this. That's what we want to look at. Her prayer. Hannah's prayer. She approached the Lord there in the presence and in the entrance to the temple, into the entrance of the tabernacle. She approached God with holy reverence. It was a reverential prayer. And she vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, O Lord of hosts. That's the first thing she said to him. She vowed a vow, and the vow was that, oh, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. But she said, O Lord of hosts. And you know why she said that? Because she recognized and acknowledged to God that God was God, that he was not a pretender. She was going into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord has a multitude of hosts. You remember that time when this great army surrounded Elijah's house, and his servant Gehazi said, went out there and said, "Oh Lord," said, "Master, they got us surrounded. They're going to destroy us." And he said, "Go back." And he said, "Lord, open his eyes. Go back out and look." He went back out and looked, and there was thousands of chariots around to destroy his enemies. God let him see who is for him. And that's the way it was here. And she said, "Oh, Lord of hosts." And here's God's, it's a declaration. It's an acknowledgement that God is almighty. She is saying here that he's the Lord of hosts, and he reigns over everything. And the first thing she says, and I tell you, beloved, I've said this for years, when we come to God, when we go into the presence of God, whether here, whether privately, no matter where we're at, we know that God is holy and high and lifted up. And that's the first thing we know. We're not coming into the presence of a God who can be manipulated by us, can be cajoled by us, could be told what to do by us. And she come before the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord of hosts. Oh, Lord of hosts." And the Lord of hosts is mentioned 239 times in the Bible. 239 times. Let me give you just one. Keep 1 Samuel looking in Psalm 24. And look at this one. Psalm 24, verse 10. I could quote it to you, but look at it. It's like what Daniel said. You know, Nebuchadnezzar said, he's the one that said it, when after he'd found out that God is the one, he said, "Oh, this is mighty Babylon that I've built, that I've established." And God said, right then and there, "Put him out like a cow, put him out like a beast." And he crawled on all fours until his hair grew and his fingernails grew like a beast. And God said, when the scripture said, when his understanding returned to him, he said, "This I know, that all the inhabitants of the earth," that includes me, Nebuchadnezzar saying, "all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What are you doing?'" And that's what Hannah's first thing she acknowledged. "Lord, you're the Lord of hosts. You're the one that shut up my womb. You're the one that's kept me barren. And I've not come here to manipulate you. I've come here into your presence because you're high and I'm low. You're everything and I'm nothing." And look what happens here in Psalm 24:10. "Who is this King of glory that's coming in? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Who is this King of glory coming? That's the Lord of hosts. He's the one that's coming. Oh, and I tell you, we're like Hannah was. We find great confidence, great assurance in God's almightiness, in God's power, in God's sovereignty. And we must approach God with holy reverence. And Hannah's words as she approached God reveal how deep her respect and her devotion to God was, knowing that he's overall and superior to everything in this universe, superior to everything. And so she comes and said, "Oh, Lord of hosts." And the Lord has shut up her womb. Ain't that what it says there in verse 5? The Lord shut up her womb. And I tell you, she knew that. And God in his sovereignty can make her barren or give her a child. And she approached God's throne with holy reverence. And that's the way our Lord Jesus even taught us to pray. He said, "Pray after this manner. Say, 'Our Father.'" Not look at everybody and say, "God loves you and I do too." As a fellow advertised on the radio all the time, "Your Heavenly Father loves you. I want you all to know that." But our Lord taught us to pray after this manner: "Our Father, where you at? Which art in heaven. The heaven of heavens can't contain it. Which art in heaven. Hallowed, holy, glorious, wondrous is your name. Thy will be done. Your will be done on this earth. In me." And oh my. And when we pray like that, it's us acknowledging that God is high above all. He dwells in majesty. He dwells in splendor. He has all power and all dominion. And multitudes and myriads of angels are constantly and continually worshiping our Lord. And He is holy. And this I know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what. We know this. He is separate from us. He is so high above His own creation, He's separate from His own creation. And this is a day when everything is casual. Everything is casual. I'm pretty casual myself when I'm not here. But this is a day when everything's casual. They have, you know, they have what they call traditional worship and then contemporary. I've come to this conclusion that there ain't but one way to worship God, and that's through His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do it any place, any time, under any circumstance. Now you say, well, we have a traditional worship service. I don't know what that means. We have a contemporary worship service. I don't know what that means. But I know this is the day of people being casual. And they have casual days at work on Fridays and things like that. And it's one thing to be casual in this world, to be casual in your dress, to be casual in a lot of ways. But I'll tell you one thing, don't approach God, oh, casually. No, no, no. No, no, no. One thing, I'll tell you a little pet peeve of mine. And this happens. I see it happen pretty often sometimes. That, you know, a man will get done through saying something. He said, let's pray. And he'll start praying. I like to be quiet and be still for a while. That's why I wait on Sunday morning for everybody to get through stirring. Everybody quit through moving. Let the Bibles be quiet and the books be closed and everything still. Then we'll speak to God. A man's a fool to come casually before the presence of God. When we come before God, we come before... Old Mr. Spurgeon said, we're doing business with the great King. With the great King. And we're going into the presence of the high and lofty one, the one that inhabits eternity. And I tell you what, if you ever approach God, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't rush. Don't rush. Consider. And that's what she did. She was grieved and she was weeping and she was hurting. And she said, I know where I can go. This old Peninnah, she's provoked me so many times. And I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to give me a child. I'm going to ask God to give me a man child. But I got to approach Him first of all, who He is. I got to approach Him who He is. And then not only that, was it a holy reverential prayer, but it was a humble prayer. Look what he said here in verse 11. Again, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Now look what she says here now. She said, if you will. If you will, she understood that she was shut up to the will of God. And I tell you what, if you will, look on the affliction of thine handmaid. And you know handmaid, what it means. It means maidservant. It means maidservant. You find that name all through the scriptures, thine handmaid. That means a maidservant. She stands at your hand to do what you bid her to do. She stands there to do what you want her to do. And what it amounts to is a female slave. And what she's saying is here, she refers to herself this way three times in this verse of Scripture. Thine handmaid, thine handmaid, thine handmaid. Thy maid servant. That's what she said. I'm your servant. And you know, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what she called herself before the Lord. And oh my, and so what she does, she approaches God as a servant. As a servant, and she approaches Him as a servant would approach her master. And when she does it like this, if you will, would you look on the affliction? And she considered not having a child an affliction. And Peninnah was an affliction, a thorn in her side. And this went year after year after year. She said, Lord, if you will, look on your servants, your maidservant's affliction. She went for a specific reason, and she used specific language. And oh, and she approaches God, and she was in absolute submission to Him. And as a servant, she was willing to accept whatever God did. She said, if you will, you can leave me barren, or you can give me a child. God's will be done. That's what she said, if you will. David said in one place, Lord, if it pleases you. Henry Mahan preached a message one time how God's to be approached, how God is really worshipped. And he used those three lepers that came down off the mountain in Matthew chapter 8. You can look at it yourself. Three lepers came down off the mountain And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scripture says they bowed before him, lepers, and said, Lord, that's the first word out of their mouth, Lord, you're Jehovah, you're God, you're the one running this show. Lord, if you will, you can make us clean. And you know what our Lord said? Be thou clean. That's all he had to say, just be thou clean. And that's the way our Lord himself prayed. He submitted to his Father's will. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup of justice, this cup of wrath, this cup of sin, this cup that's so full of bitterness, full of dregs, the dregs of man's humanity and sin, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you. Huh? And Eli, this man, this priest is sitting here watching Hannah. He had two sons. God, when Samuel was just a boy, he had to tell him, said, God told me he's going to kill both your boys because they are evil men, sinful men, and God's going to kill them. They've abused the priesthood. And you know what Eli said? He didn't get up before the Lord and said, Lord, I've served you all these years and I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's right for you to treat me like this. I've been a faithful priest. No, no. You know what he said? It is the Lord. Let him do as seemeth good. If it pleases God, he said, yeah, if that's what God wills to do in my life, take my two boys, God's will be done. That's what he's saying. And Job got up one morning, lost his sons and his daughters. A little while, they said he lost his flocks. A little while, they come and said, lost your herds. And you know what Job did? He fell before the Lord and he said, naked, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Bless his name. Huh? That's where Hannah felt. And I tell you what, we can worship a God like that. We can truly bow down and worship a God that's like that. Huh? And our starting place with God, this is a humble prayer. Our starting place with God is we confess our smallness, our inabilities, and express God's greatness and God's glory. And I tell you, God doesn't know any great men. He doesn't know any great men. People say, boy, he's a great man. This is a great man. That's when we speak about a believer, we always say, boy, he's a gracious man, or he's a faithful man, or he's a loving man, or he's a precious man, and he's a, this kind of man. We don't know. God said, he don't know any great man. I tell you what he does, though. He begins with nothing, and sometimes he'll make a man useful to himself. But he starts with nothing. And as long as you think you're something, God ain't never going. Wouldn't use me, and you wouldn't use anybody. And you know what God thinks about pride? He says, six things I hate, yea, seven are an abomination. The first thing he mentions was pride. Pride. Oh, my. God hates pride. And he said that he resists the proud over in 1 Peter. Resist them. That means he's at war with them. He's not going to let them win. But he gives grace to that man that's low. Pick him up. Lift him up. He'll give grace to him. And then last of all, this prayer of Hannah, not only was it reverential, a reverence. She had a reverence for God. He's the Lord of hosts. Not only was it a humble prayer, but it was a fervent prayer. Look what she said in verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was greatly, greatly burdened. Her heart was grieved. She said, oh, why is thy heart grieved? And the scripture said she wept sore. She just cried and cried and cried and cried. And Hannah prayed with earnestness and with passion. Look what it says down in verse 15. Now Eli said, how long are you going to be drunk? She was praying from her heart, and he saw the tears in her eyes. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And now Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman. Listen to this, of a sorrowful spirit. Spirit is so heavy. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but listen to this, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now I tell you what, you're in pretty bad shape when you're pouring your soul. I mean pouring out your soul. I mean just
laying it out there, just sowing such agony and bitterness and heaviness that you just pour it out.
Oh, my. And she was heavy-hearted. She had a heavy spirit, had great grief in her heart. And what did she do with it? Did she run around telling everybody, oh, I'm a miserable, I'm just so miserable, and I'm having such hard times, and I'm so, and I, you know, Penina's doing me this way, and I can't. No, no. You know who she told her affliction to and where she took her affliction? She took it to the Lord. We sang that old, I read it to you one day, take your burden to the Lord and leave. She carried her affliction before the throne of God, and it was a passionate, fervent prayer. She wept sore. She was like Jacob when he wrestled that night. He said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And oh, beloved, so Hannah prayed. And she said, God, in verse 11, give me a man-child. And I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. We'll deal with that next week. No razor shall come upon his head. And here's the last thing about Hannah's prayer. Her prayer before God, and this is she's praying before the Lord. Ain't you grateful that we got someone to go to? Someone that knows us. I was reading today over there when Job said, the Lord knoweth the way that I take. You know, God knows every single one of us. He knows the way that we take, the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we... He knows everything. God's knowledge of us is perfect. And that's why we can come to him with such confidence and such a comfort and such assurance. And no matter how heavy it is, when we can't do nothing but just groan before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. He knows. He knows. But one more thing about Hannah's prayer. It was a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of faith. And look what she says now in verse 16 and 17. And oh, she said, I've poured my soul out before the Lord. So don't consider your handmaid here, this maidservant, for a daughter of Belial, a low life. That's what it means here, a very low type person. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here. That's what I've been praying about. Now watch what happens now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. She come down there in bitterness of heart and grief and left in peace. And listen to what he said, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition as thou hast asked of him. She came broken. She came distressed. She came, made a vow that if you give me a man child, I'm going to give him right back to you. He'll be used of you. And oh my. And then look what happened. She said in verse 18, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now listen to this. She says, remember how she says, remember me and not forget thy handmaid when she prayed in verse 11. Now look what happens. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife and the Lord remembered her. She said, Lord, remember me. And the Lord remembered her. Oh, you think God go forget us? We may forget him. Larry Matthews tell me about his sister with Alzheimer's. You know, we may get to where, I know I've seen people that they didn't know their name. They forgot to even drink water. Somebody had to give them their water. They just forgot how to do anything. And we may get like that. But one thing for certain, God won't forget us. Amen. Amen.